Stay tuned now for the Neurochelle Chamber of Commerce on the air with Jennifer Lancer on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, this is Jennifer Lancer, and this is the Chamber Show. We're here every second and fourth Monday of the month, 1460 on your AM dial or worldwide at www.wvox.com. Anyway, we're here in the chamber to bring you a featured member of our chamber to talk about their program or organization or business. And this is a benefit for being part of the chamber. So if you're not part of the Chamber of Commerce, you should join. You could call us at 914-632-5700 or visit us on the web at newroadchamber.org if you want any information. With me on the show today, if you'd like to call into the show, the number is 914-636-0110. I don't always say that, but we always want to hear from our guests and, excuse me, in our audience. So today on the show, we have on Suzanne Tanswell, and I believe she's calling in. And are you there, Suzanne?
Yes, I am. Hi, great to be here.
Hi, Suzanne. Now, Suzanne, many of you may not know, is the chairman of the Huguenot and New Rochelle Historical Association right here in New Rochelle that runs the Thomas Paine Cottage. And we wanted to have her on the show today because they had an extremely exciting weekend. First, let's start, Suzanne. Not everybody, I think a lot of our listeners may not know who Thomas Paine is. I know many people are history buffs, but many aren't. I know you had a couple of interns visit with you who had no idea who Thomas Paine was, and you had to explain it to them. So why don't you explain to our audience first who Thomas Paine is?
Well, Thomas Paine briefly wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense that was published in Philadelphia in January of 1776. And he wrote it to the common man to understand why it was important to join the fight for the American Revolution. And he basically sparked that within the common man, and a lot of people joined Washington's army, and we were successful. So now we are the United States. I can't even go into the vast amount of information that I want to provide to the listeners about Thomas Paine, but we do have a historian, Gary Burton, who'd love to fill them in if they would come and visit the cottage.
Now, Suzanne, Gary Burton, you mentioned him. He's a professor at Iona College, and there's a specific institute, right, for Thomas Paine studies?
Yes, the Institute of Thomas Paine Studies at Iona College was created, I might be wrong on the date, I believe it was 2011. It's grown quite large. They also have quite a few artifacts of Thomas Paine, and they can be displayed if you ask to see them.
Now, that being said, it's very interesting, and we're very excited to say that right here in New Rochelle, we have this Thomas Paine Cottage. Now, tell us about the house and the cottage and the property. Tell us, how did we arrive at this property here in New Rochelle?
Well, the property was originally owned by the DeVoe family that were Huguenot settlers, and they were deemed to be sympathizers of the British. So the property was confiscated after we won the war. A lot of Huguenots left New Rochelle and went to Canada, say about 40%. After the war, New York State wanted to reward Thomas Paine for his war efforts, and the state gave him the cottage and the land, 300 acres surrounding it. The cottage itself was not the main house. That actually burned down when Paine was in France. Years and years of neglect and abuse, happened to the cottage like a lot of historic homes. In the 1900s, I believe it was 1900, Lester, who was the president of the Huguenot Association, purchased the house. It was originally on Lincroft Road and Paine Avenue, and moved it down to the site that it's on right now.
Wow.
The land that it's on right now is the last remaining portion of Thomas Paine's property. And they opened it to the public as a public museum in 1908.
Wow. So now, so the Thomas Paine Cottage is run by the Huguenot and New Rochelle Historical Association, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So now you have a museum there. I mean, I know when we first moved to New Rochelle as newlyweds, we went and visited. My husband's a huge, my husband John Lancer, who is also on your board,
is
a huge history buff, and he loves everything to have to do with history. So of course we went to visit it, and it was informative. There was, you know, lots going on, but since you've taken over as chairman, they've had numerous changes. And it's a complete overhaul of inside. Why don't you talk about some of the renovations that was made while you are running the association?
Well, we teamed up with the Thomas Paine National Historical Association. That's the organization that Gary Burton is a secretary of. And we wanted to honor Thomas Paine more. So we decided that we would change one of our larger exhibit rooms back into an historic representation of what the room looked like when Thomas Paine actually lived in that portion of the cottage.
And I want to interrupt you for a second because it really looks fantastic. I mean, I know that Gary Burton even researched the actual wallpaper that, you know, Thomas Paine had written in a letter somewhere that he got almost the same exact replica of the wallpaper, which is amazing. And it really looks amazing. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to tell everybody in the audience.
No. That's fine. We're very excited about how many different little reproductive artifacts and actual artifacts we were able to find within our attic that had been long forgotten about. We've brought them out. We really put our heart and soul into this because we'd really like to have the Thomas Paine people come back and realize that we wanted him to be more in the forefront of his cottage.
Right. Yeah, and that was a great idea because it really, it just, you know, if you're visiting the Thomas Paine Cottage, you wanna see, well, what is it about? So I really commend you for the changes that you made because it really looks fantastic. Now yesterday, I don't know, I heard it through the grapevine, but was it Thomas Paine's birthday?
No, actually, we opened up, our grand reopening was actually on the date of his death.
It was the
210th anniversary on June 8th of Thomas Paine's passing.
Okay, great. Well, that was some significant date that I hadn't realized when we did the grand opening. So the grand reopening. So I know that during the grand reopening, you had a very exciting event, which included, I know we had many dignitaries, like, of course, the mayor, who always is so, he comes to all of our events for the chamber, which is really wonderful of him, Mayor Noam Bramson, and then also the county legislator Terry Clements came, and then, you know, county executive George Latimer showed up later on. So people were really excited about this grand reopening because you really made a lot of it. So tell us first about the Colonial Fair and what you did there, because I know we have these Colonial Fairs on a regular basis, so somebody may have missed it, and it's exciting to see. So describe some of the things that happened.
Well, for the Colonial Fair for the kids, we really like to bring in historical interpreters that can show them actually how life was during the colonial time. We had a woodworker this year that was brand new. He was actually making wood furniture by hand there. We had a militia group that basically brought the kids in to become a Revolutionary War soldier, showed them the uniforms, the accoutrements that come along with the soldiers, what they had to carry, what they had to endure. I know one of the reenactors actually even had a blanket that was a real artifact from the 1700s.
Wow.
That he opened up and let the students realize that these soldiers only had a blanket to sleep on. It's a little bit of everything that we try to bring every year to the kids in the neighborhood. And it helps them understand what life was like in a different time period. We try to have different reenactors every year so they come out and they can experience different aspects of it. But our tried and true, we always have a school marm that comes into our schoolhouse, our 19th century schoolhouse.
Which is also on the property.
Yes, it is. The Sophia Brewster one-room schoolhouse, long name. And to show the kids also that school was different then. Classes weren't divided into first, second, or third grade. All the children just were taught together in one schoolroom. And we always have someone there to lighten it up a little and show what children played with back mm-hmm. then as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you had something interesting this year, which I had never seen before. I have been to a couple of the colonial fairs, but you had a woman talking about period makeup, you know, like makeup from that time in history, and she was doing demonstrations on how to do her hair and how to repurpose a dress to look different on every event. And I just thought that was really interesting, you know, in terms of fashion and that kind of thing. So that was something different. And then the second floor of the cottage also, it looks like you redid somewhat. Is that true?
Yes, we did. Our second floor is more dedicated to our other half of our association, the Huguenot settlers, which we always have some type of exhibit room set up for that. But we would try to change out some of the artifacts that we have in our collection that represents our founding families of New Rochelle. We also have spinning and rotating exhibits for New Rochelle history. This time around, we were lucky to have the band costume from Nate Baum. A lot of people have forgotten him, but Nate was instrumental in creating the Hudson Park band shell that we have right now. If you do go over to the band shell, which I hope you do during the concert season this summer, mm-hmm. there is a little plaque to Nate down there. And we displayed this time around his uniform, his band shell uniform, and we're hoping to receive more of his artifacts because there are so many famous New Rochellians from the past that we'd like to represent. We also opened up a members-only research library, again, in the cottage on the second floor. We have internet access. We have books on the Huguenots, books on Thomas Paine, and also books for Westchester County.
This is a great resource for our children of the community who may have to do projects. And we will get into that for a second. But I wanted to talk also about the audio-visual that you've included in the museum these days now. So why don't you talk a little about how on the first floor you have the visual, which is more like museums you visit of today. And then I absolutely loved, and I told you this, the radio exhibit, how you really felt like you were there listening to the speech. So why don't you talk about those two items?
Well, on the first floor, like you mentioned, we switched out our old Thomas Paine room into a video viewing room. Like you mentioned, historic homes, when you walk in, they always seem to have some type of video set up that can explain what the historic home is all about. For our grand reopening, we just had general videos playing, but our hope is going forward that we can focus more on New Rochelle history and the cottage history.
Okay, so if you're listening, to Suzanne Tanswell, and she's going to be right back. We're talking about the Thomas Paine Cottage and the Huguenot and New Rochelle Historical Association. We'll be right back.
Fasten your seatbelts. You're airborne with a completely unpredictable WVOX, where something's always happening at 1460 on your AM dial and streaming live right now at WVOX.com. Download the WVOX app and take us with you wherever you go.
1460 WVOX.
Let's return to the New Rochelle Chamber of Commerce on the air with Jennifer Lancer on 1460 WVOX.
This is Jennifer Lancer, and this is the Chamber Show. We're here every second and fourth Monday of the month if you want to listen on 1460 on your AM dial. And today we have on the show Suzanne Tanswell, and she is with the Huguenot and New Rochelle Historical Association. And she also is she's the chairperson there, and she runs the Thomas Paine Cottage right here in New Rochelle. And we're very proud of having the Thomas Paine Cottage right here in New Rochelle because it's a piece of history, and I announced this at the grand reopening. It's a piece of history that we're very proud of because you know, not all cities in the United States have history like this, that it's part of our revolutionary time. So I just want to finish that conversation about the second floor and talk about how you have that radio, which is amazing. I think you said it was your mom's or dad's or what, your parents' radio?
Yeah, it actually was my grandparents. And parents' radio that they listened to the actual FDR talk to the American public the day after D-Day. So it meant a lot to me to be able to loan it to the museum and have FDR's speech playing while we had the radio displayed.
And especially after the 75th anniversary of such D-Day. And it was amazing because I felt that I was really there when I was listening. It was really cool to sit there and listen. When I was looking at it, I was like, well, this is really cool because it's an actual radio and you're listening to the speech. You could really kind of get a sense for what it was like when people were back then listening to Roosevelt sing his speech. So, okay, so the next thing I'd like to really talk about is the contest you had with those little girls that won.
Oh, yes.
That was really sweet.
It wasn't actually a contest, but there were projects that were done by the fourth graders of Columbus School. There were 170 of them, and they were tasked with creating American Revolutionary War booklets. And their teacher contacted me. I'm going to butcher her last name. Forgive me, Patricia Boingingo. I'm sorry, but I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. She chose 7 out of the 170 booklets to be displayed at the cottage, and anyone who had their booklets displayed were asked to come to our ribbon cutting and, of course, enter the Colonial Fair for free.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate when the local schools try to get involved with us since, you know, you want to instill that love of history into a child young.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree because this is one of the reasons why you have something like this. I mean, if you're a parent listening or you're an educator or somebody who knows an educator, you should really encourage that person to schedule a class trip here. I mean, this is exactly what you're doing this for, Suzanne,
Absolutely.
is for the children to understand their history and to really come back and learn and to have it right here in New Rochelle. I know I keep saying that, but it's really exciting. I mean, they could actually walk here from some of the schools, which is really exciting. So that is something that I would say that is fantastic. So Suzanne, you know, I also want to talk to you about before we leave is that the foundation that came and gave you that special designation. Could you talk a little about that?
Oh, yes, the William Pomeroy Foundation. A couple of decades ago, Mr. Pomeroy discovered, as a lover of history, that a lot of our historical markers that you find along the highway weren't exactly located in accurate places. So he took his money and put a foundation together in order that people could request to have these markers put up at their historic sites, and they really put you through the ringer. When you see a William Pomeroy historic marker, you know that the information on there is accurate. And it means a lot to us because, you know, we'd like people to notice that our cottage is there, and these signs are very, very popular. They're the blue and the gold ones that you see all across New York State and elsewhere on the Northeast. And they do a wonderful job helping to keep history alive.
And from what I hear is that there are some enthusiasts that actually follow these signs, correct? They seek them out.
Maps
and when they
are
see
out
them,
there, mm-hmm. interactive maps,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Yeah, so that's really great. I mean, that's even great for New Rochelle. So I commend you on your refurnishing. And just quickly tell them where to find the Thomas Paine Cottage, and we're going to go.
20 Seacard Avenue, New Rochelle, New York. Go to our website, discovernewrochellehistory.org.
Okay, thank you all for listening. We'll see you back in a couple of weeks, and have a great day. Thank you, Suzanne.